5th chapter in the book of St. Matthew. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Now I'm going to read for you what is known as the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing on the reading of your word today. Just open our minds and hearts. For just a moment, God, we receive each one that individual truth you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray, all God's people, amen.
Amen.
Excuse me, I got a little something there, but I've got water and all those things. And what a joy to open God's word, to read items that and promises that I've read so many times in my life. I know that it's not the first time that you've heard someone read the Beatitudes. It's not the first time you've heard it preached upon. But it's amazing how sometimes you'll read a verse, you'll read a passage and something, and as you go through it, and then you come back, and God reveals just something that just a little bit different. So many times I would read this, and I love the message that each one of these Beatitudes it just brings to you, and the things that just thrill your heart. Mourn, for they shall be comforted. Meek, inheriting the earth over there. I love that thing, that those who hunger and thirst, that they shall be filled and all that. But I will tell you that the first Beatitude, I would read it, and I'd read through it very quickly because I'd scratch my head. Because I would read, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's something that I don't quite understand, I just zip right through it. Don't tell Vicki, but if you come out in 2 weeks to the cantata, there'll be some parts that we basses are singing that we'll just zip right through. Because we don't quite know. Come on, I already hear a couple amens out of there. Gilbert, I'm waiting on you, brother. There you go.
I think that requires another
practice. Oh, no. Because some of the things, you know, you got those notes and trying to get the right, just move on to the next page. But as I'd read this, and then with the events of old last couple weeks here, especially with Brother Lou passing away on the same day that Brother Billy Graham went to be with the Lord, I kind of was moved to pull out some of the things that I had, that little writings from Brother Billy Graham. I love the way that he just presented God's word. I always loved Bob Mumford because I've told you many times that he was so kind enough to put my name and Billy Graham in the same sentence. He would tell people, they said, well, he's no Billy Graham, but you come out, he does a fairly good job. And in my notes, I pulled out this little devotional. Wisdom for Each Day by Billy Graham. And if you'll turn to it, which I will because you don't have a copy of it. On March 9th and on March 10th, it talks about poor in spirit. When you first read this phrase, you just kind of, isn't that a contradiction? Poor in spirit. God, I want to be rich in spirit. I want to be full. I don't want to be filled with faith. I want to believe. I want to have faith like that mustard seed, all these things. But then I read, blessed are the poor in spirit. It's a challenge. I had a challenge this week. I knew that Sally was leaving. She's going on this wonderful trip to the Holy Lands, I believe, with Pastor Cover of a Word of Life, isn't it? Yeah, good friend. And so I knew that the time she was leaving, I had to rush down there to the hair. I said, Sally, before you go, I've got to get this off the neck and all like that and all. And I said, Sally, I have a crisis that only you as a hairdresser can answer. I was showering the other day, came out, looked in the mirror, and I saw one dark hair. I did. I saw one dark hair. Don't be talking miracles out there. And I said, Sally, what do you think? So Sally, she does a little inspection. She says, maybe you need more shampoo. Your hair was probably dirty. Thus, you're not going to get the right answer every crisis you have in your life. Challenge. This little instructional, daily instructions, that's what I like about it. This was given to me by the same lady that has threatened to make us have another bass practice over here. For my birthday, Vicki gave me this. And it's just amazing how at certain times you'll just kind of pull out something and it'll just touch your heart. And I kind of wrestled in my mind a little bit about this poor in spirit. And then I realized, I wonder what Brother Graham had to say about it. And he said, you know, it may seem like a contradiction, but he says, first of all, you have to realize that we ourselves, every one of us, have to realize what a spiritual poverty we are in. I know that, and he makes a wonderful little statement here that I want to read to you. It says, the soul requires as much attention as the body. It demands fellowship and communion with God. It demands worship, quietness, and meditation. It says, unless the soul is fed and exercised, it will become weak and shriveled. I like that. And I know that as you read this, you start to understand about how lost I would be. It says over in Luke 18th chapter, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I love it when here at Mount Calvary and we all just, and I say, repeat after me, and you do this, and I say, I am a sinner, repeat with me, I am a sinner, saved by grace. I love that bumper sticker that says, Christians, not perfect, just forgiven. Just simply forgiven. You have to realize the condition and the state that your soul is in. You know, one of the saddest things when you think about an individual who has such a need, is in such bad shape and all that, and they don't even realize it. So many times there are people with addictions that they won't admit it. And so many times I know that you've shared God's love, and that individual, it just doesn't make sense to them. It says that this preaching of the cross to those that don't believe, it is nothing but foolishness. Foolishness. But I'm here to tell you that I serve a merciful God, one who knows my condition. And the greatest thing that God has ever done is to send his son to die upon a cross for my sin and for your sin. This whole thing that we're going to celebrate, and I love the way the choir is going to sing on Palm Sunday, because this cantata that Vicki has chosen, it kind of sets up all the events of that week. That week beginning with such a pomp and service. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. And then it ends with the death upon a cross. And we're going to tell you about that wonderful morning when they rolled away the stone and that tomb was empty. It was empty. Amen. Empty. And the joy simply because of what God has done for us. So those that are poor in spirit have simply realized what their condition is. Now I'm going to move along. I'm going to preach fast. You're going to think that I'm preaching so fast that I'll be done by 11 o'clock instead of 12. That's just the way it's going to seem today. Just the way it's going to seem. And secondly, there's a point that Brother Graham brought up, which I love. He said, secondly, not only do you have to realize your spiritual poverty, but you have to realize your continual, without it stopping, dependence upon God the Father. And he gives a little illustration here about children. He uses scripture. He says, once I have accepted Christ, I become the child of God. And if you'll think about it, remember back, we preached upon the power of becoming the children of God because of our acceptance as Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Children depend upon their parents for protection. I love children. I tell you, the way they laugh and play, and doesn't matter how much they have, doesn't matter what they're wearing, doesn't matter. They just seem to have a simple joy about them because they're not worried about their clothes, about the roof over their head, about whether or not they're going to have their next meal. They depend upon their parents, as well they should. You know, when we come to Christ, we become as children. What a joy it is when you come to Christ and you have a heavenly Father who watches over you. Matthew in the 7th chapter. What man is there among you if his son asks for bread will give him a stone? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I'm here to tell you that I'm happy that I'm a child of God. I know without a shadow of a doubt that he has blessed me so richly in my life, and I know he's done the same for you. I know that even with these events of the last couple weeks, and trust me, folks, I still get, you know, and I'm not into the politics. I'm not into the finger pointing, and I'm not into to so many things that people want to get in and just talk and argue. But I'll tell you one thing. It breaks my heart when I think about those shootings that we heard so much about down in Florida. And I have a reaction that's probably just like yours. As soon as I hear that inside, I get angry, I get mad, and then God kind of calms me down. And I get a feeling inside about how sad it is that not one individual was moved to just share the love of God with that individual. Now, that's a little different. But I believe that so many times the things that happen in school, the things that happen in young people's groups, simply that they don't know that they're loved. And maybe they grow up in a household where there is no love. Maybe they grow up in a household where it's very, very difficult. But I believe that we have a responsibility to share this love that God has shown us. I believe that we have to think about those individuals who, and friend, they're struggling. And although you may sound foolish to them, although you may be laughed at, although you may be made fun of, I still believe that God wants you to share His love with those who are in need. Charles Spurgeon, he wrote this sentence. He says, "You know, the first link between my soul and Christ is..." There's a little pause. He says, "It's not my riches, but it's my need." And I know that each and every one of us, under the sound of my voice, we've experienced that need. And I hope that you've said, "God, I thank you for coming into my heart, for saving me. I believe in your Son who died upon a cross for my sins. But I also believe that you have called me to share this wonderful news." We're not going to get it right. No, you're not going to say the right thing sometimes. You're going to do something, say, and just scratch your head, just like I did when I read this verse sometimes, and I would read, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." But now, when I better understand that the poor in spirit are simply those that have realized their spiritual poverty, and those that have realized that I must depend upon God for my strength. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I came in today and Mady and I, we're going to close here. Mady and I was telling me, she says, she's back and forth in prayer and we're talking. And then she comes in, she says, "At my age..." Hands upon the hip, and I said, "Matey, I can relate. I walk into church on a Sunday morning, and I'm inspired. I'm saying, wow, look at all these people that got up early this morning, early, just to hear the word of God. And I'm inspired by usually the music is played, and I walk over to the piano, and the first thing that I see on the piano is this little book right here. Come on in, Joe. It's almost 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. I'm right on time.
Right on time. That's all right, Joe. Right on time, bro. Terry, if you can just sell him the CD of the sermon this morning over there, I'll try to do. We sang prayer requests, don't like that. We took him an offering. We all sang Amazing Grace. We're talking about those who are poor in spirit like that, and about how that God is just, we know our spiritual poverty and how much He cares for us as kids. You haven't missed a thing, Joe. That's where we're at. Now we know you're here. But I know you're hungry and ready for lunch, so. Don't you think God has a sense of humor? I know that people, the first time they come to Mount Calvary and we have prayer request time, and sometimes somebody will make a statement, and it's a humorous statement. I don't know whether Dave is saying something about Barbara back over there during prayer request time, or that he and Matt, they're praying for Marshall, who, you know, they have, y'all both graduates of Marshall, right? They have the... They have the shortest team in the NCAA. Don't you think that, and people walk, you know, they'll come in and look and says, oh, it's prayer time. I should be like this. And there's some times that you're going to be like that. But don't you think that my God has a sense of humor? Don't you think that sometimes he just looks down on us and just scratches his head and starts to giggle and laugh and go, hey. I believe it without a shadow of a doubt. I believe that we're all poor in spirit. And I thank God for that. Because I believe that we know within our hearts there is a need that only God can fulfill. And I thank Him that no matter what the situation, that He cares for me as a father cares for a child. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we've gathered in Your house today. We've tried to share the love of God. We thank You for the scripture that just kind of rings in our hearts. Those that are poor in spirit, and how blessed we are, Heavenly Father. Now, God, just challenge us to share this good news with those that are hurting, those that don't see a way out, those that just are filled with questions. And God, we may not have an answer, but we can direct them to the book that's full of answers, the book that's written about Your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, as we prepare to celebrate Palm Sunday and Easter, what a wonderful time of the year to simply share Your love. Challenge us, and we'll thank You for it, Heavenly Father. Give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this building today, and God, be Your will, bring us back to sing praises unto You. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Make sure you say hi to Joe on the way out there like that, and tell him how good most of this service was. I'm so glad.